John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. One of my good friends is a horticulturist, and I do like to hang out with the clever people with the hopes that it might actually rub off. I love my garden, but I'm not a great gardener, and I always hope in vain that the garden will look beautiful and full of flowers without any intervention whatsoever. She keeps telling me how important it is to prune my plants and explaining why I need to do it. She tells me that by getting rid of the unnecessary branches, it ensures that the nutrients are concentrated in the right areas. It is essential that we prune our plants so they produce more blooms or fruit. What's interesting, though, is that even branches that already produce flowers or fruit also need to be cut to produce even more, like the first blooms on a pansy that should be pinched and removed to encourage the plant to flourish. But this often feels pretty hard to do when they're already looking lovely. In this passage, Jesus drew us a rather apt description of the life of discipleship. We can see how this image describes how God's created world is held together, bearing fruit and being pruned. And in the case of someone like Caroline or I going through ordination training, it might be referred to as formation. This has sometimes been described as a deconstruction before reconstruction, and it does sometimes feel that way. Although, of course, formation is for all of us, not just ordinands. No one ever said growing plants or growing spiritually was going to be easy, and it seems there needs to be a fair amount of discomfort on the way. God keeps pruning us so that we will become healthy and bear much spiritual fruit. How might it feel to be part of the vine? Malcolm Gate, who's an Anglican priest and singer-songwriter, wrote this poem specifically about this passage. Not just to see the vineyard from afar, or even pluck the clusters, press the wine, but to be grafted in, to feel the stir of inward sap that rises from our root, himself deep planted in the ground of love, to feel a leaf unfold a tender shoot, as tendrils curled unfurl, as branches give a little to the swelling of the grape in gradual perfection, round and full, to bear within oneself the joy and hope of God's good vintage till it's ripe and whole. What might it mean to bide and to abide in such rich love as makes the poor heart glad? I like the sound of God's good vintage, don't you? In today's reading, Jesus counsels and prays with his disciples, inviting them to stay close by placing their trust in him. He warns them that they cannot go it alone, just trusting in their own strength. On their own, they would be cut off from their life source. They would bear no fruit. This is something we all need to heed today. The temptation to go on our own is great. We can all be guilty of spending lots of time on activities that are fruitless and do not honour God. As someone who likes to be in control and who likes making plans for the future, this pandemic has challenged me in so many ways. Being able to see through the fog of anxiety to find positive things has been hard on some days. And although I do have much to be thankful for, it's still been difficult. But I have always been grateful for my faith, and never more so in the last 6 months. Sometimes when we suffer losses and grieve about them, we can find that God is redirecting and healing us. I don't know about you, but I kind of really need to hear that right now. I've had to dig very deep as I navigate my way through the disappointments and the frustrations and the losses that this year has brought for so many of us. Lockdown started just after losing a close friend who left a young family behind. And it's been a deeply sad time for many. And as a sociable hugger, the losses have been compounded. I do miss those hugs and gatherings of friends and family and church. But we can trust God, and we must lean into him, remaining faithful despite how difficult that might feel on some days. Psalm 121, one of my favourite psalms, although there are many, reassures us that God is with us in times of trouble. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. The reward we receive will far outweigh the struggle. And if we look at what Jesus was going through at the time, he knew what trials lay ahead. Reassurance comes in the command to remain in him, to remain close to Jesus, a place where any storm could be weathered. These days, just trying to go to the supermarket seems like a battle in itself, with masks and distancing and more hand sanitizer than you can shake a stick at. Just trying to obtain the basic foodstuffs feels stressful in these times, but we still need to eat well. How many of us manage to get our 5 a day, I wonder? And I love the look of the fruit and vegetables in the supermarket displays. Pre-lockdown, I always admired the colour and texture of the display at Morrison's, complete with its mist machines. If they still have those, I don't know. Then I think of ways that I can encourage the children to eat more greens, or how I could hide some in a tasty dish, perhaps. I wonder if reading the scriptures can count towards our quota. It's definitely easier to pick up the Bible than go to the supermarket these days. And if so, this morning's gospel with its image of Jesus as a fruitful vine is a definite winner. The powerful word picture draws on Old Testament ideas, where Israel is likened to a vineyard. However, the comparison is not favourable because unfaithful Israel yields wild grapes in return for her owner's careful tending. The same moral is found in the parable of the wicked vine dressers, which is recorded by Matthew, Mark and Luke. Here a man plants a vineyard and leases it to tenants. When the harvest time arrives, he sends one of his slaves to collect his share of the produce, but the tenants beat him and send him away. The owner then sends another slave and another, always with the same result. Finally, the owner sends his son, in the hopes that he at least would command some respect. But the wicked tenants treat him even more harshly and kill him in the hopes of getting their greedy hands on his inheritance. The parable can be interpreted as a no-nonsense indictment of those who reject Jesus, but it also says a lot about God's persistence. despite the terrible treatment his servants receive, he keeps on sending them, not even withholding his own son. In today's passage, John uses the story in a different way. Here Jesus is the vine, and we, his followers, are the branches. Like the wicked vine dressers, we have a choice. We can abide in him or not. One way leads to life, one way to destruction. It sounds very cut and dried, with heaven on one side and hell on the other, and indeed this is how many preachers have interpreted the fire where the withered branches are thrown away. But we must not forget that fire in the Bible is often a positive image. When the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost, she appeared as tongues of fire. In the book of Exodus, God revealed himself to Moses in a burning bush, which, though blazing, was not consumed. And later he guided the children of Israel through the desert as a pillar of fire. In Daniel, fire is also used to describe God's glory and as power in Deuteronomy, and in Zechariah, used to purify his people, a refiner's fire that leads to renewed faith and life. It seems particularly difficult at the moment to think of fire in a positive way, given the devastation in California and Oregon, and of course in the refugee camps in Lesbos. But in the natural world, fire can lead to renewing. Writing about the bushfires of Australia, Margaret Silf notes, "Though the flames devastate everything in their path, next year the plains will be sprouting again. The heat that reduces the soaring eucalyptus to cinders is the only heat strong enough to burst open their seeds." And in our own humble gardens, the ash from bonfires provides a natural source of potassium, which feeds our plants and flowers. So like the harsh pruning recommended by my good friend, fruitfulness can come after destruction. Jesus' message is clear. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Love each other." The fire of God's love is a fire of new life, bringing change, yes, refining us, sure, but destroying us, never. It reminds me of Stuart Townend's worship song. "How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. We are God's beautiful work in progress, and his love for us is infinite." As Father Daniel O'Leary puts it, all we have to do is believe it. The ceaseless calling of God's ecstatic desire for us will transform our often barren hearts, souls and bodies, our very lives, into those of unimaginable power and beauty. Jesus wants us to know that this is the fruit that God longs for us to bear, the fruit that will never perish, the fruits that last through all eternity. So when it comes to counting your five a day, don't forget the power of spiritual fruits. "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is my prayer for all of us." Amen.